Children's Church. If we got any little tykes, I don't think we do, but sometimes I miss them. So if you're hiding somewhere, now is the time. For the rest of you little tykes, we're going to hang out in here in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. And we're actually going to look kind of at two sections of Scripture today. And we're really not going to look at either of them in the context necessarily. You can read Romans 9 through 11 this week if you'd like to, if you want to get a little more of the context about what's going on there. But there's one little part in Romans chapter 11 that's gonna take us back to a story from 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19, which you guys have heard me preach probably 10 times. I probably preach it at least once a year. We'll hit it today kind of along the same lines that I've preached it in the past, but really focusing on one little part of this passage, which I will admit is somewhat out of context, but I don't think it's irrelevant. And so we'll look at Romans chapter 11, and then we'll talk about 1 Kings 18 and 19. You can make a mark or a note of that, and I encourage you this week to go back and read the story. I won't go through it verse by verse just for time's sake, but we will talk about it. But those are some good homework for you this week, 1 Kings 18 and 19 and Romans 9, 10, and 11, so you can kind of understand the context a little better. So, Romans chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. This is Elijah speaking here that it's referencing in this verse. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to take my life. But what was God's reply to him? I have left 7,000 men for myself who have not bowed down to Baal. Let's pray. God, we come to you. We thank you for being good to us. We thank you for the freedom we have in this country to come and to hear your word. And I pray, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be among us today. I pray that you would help us to listen to your word. I pray that you would meet us where we are, dear Lord. There are days that we feel like Elijah does in this story. And so I pray that as we look at this story and see what happened and see how you responded and see how he responded, dear Lord, that we can make some connections in our own life and that we can be strengthened in this. So I pray, God, that you would keep me humble today. I pray that you would take away any fear that I have, that you would let your words come into my mind and out of my mouth, dear Lord, that today we hear from you, because, God, there is no good words that I can say unless they come from you. So, dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be free of our worries and distractions today, and that we know that there is nothing else that matters more than your word and drawing closer to you today. So I pray that your spirit would work. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Romans chapter 11 here, there is a brief reference to the story of Elijah when he took on the prophets of Baal. Now, Baal was a false god that some of the people had begun to worship. Now, they certainly should have worshipped God, Yahweh, as he's often referred to in the Old Testament. That's the God that we come to worship today. And they should have been worshiping Yahweh, and God gave them lots of instructions through the years from Exodus onwards, and they would hear those commands and instructions, and they would say, God, we're going to do what you tell us to do. And much like you and I, when we say that, it doesn't take long until we fail. And they had failed pretty greatly. There were a lot of people that had begun to worship Baal. And Elijah was kind of a lone ranger. There really weren't a lot of other prophets. There wasn't really anybody standing up for the Lord there. And Elijah, this was going to be his calling. This is what the Lord wants him to do, is to stand up against these false prophets, the prophets of Baal, and this false god. And so, in 1 Kings chapter 18, we see Elijah do just that. Now, the scripture tells us that there are 450 of these false prophets. So here's this one man, Elijah, by himself, and here are these 450 men. And Elijah challenges them. He says, here's what we're going to do. We will determine today whose God is real and whose God is fake. He said, what I challenge you to is let's both take us a bull and we'll get it all cut up. We'll get it the way it needs to be. We'll get some wood laid out. We'll make a little bit of an altar here. And you can call out to your God and I will call out to my God. And whosoever God answers, we'll know once and for all that that is the true God. And this seemed like a good idea to them. They said, this is good. We can agree to these terms. And so they both begin to prepare their animal for the sacrifice, and they got their wood ready. And Elijah said, you guys go first. And so these 450 prophets of Baal and all these people were gathered around that were worshiping these false gods. Obviously, they want to see what's going to happen. And Elijah said, we're going to get all of our stuff ready, and we're going to call for our God. And whichever God comes down and sends fire from heaven and consumes this altar we've made, we'll know that that's the true God. They say, sounds good to us. Works for me. So, he says, y'all go first. They get everything ready. And they start. Oh, Baal, we call out to you. Come on and light our fire. We call out to you. And nothing happened. And they kept going. And they kept going hour after hour. They kept going through all this stuff and praying and all this hollering out. And Baal did not do a single thing. And so Elijah, having a little sense of humor, begins to mock them a little bit. He says, well, just talk a little louder. Maybe he can't hear you. He might be out on the road traveling. He might be asleep. He might be busy doing something else. Maybe he stepped away for a while. Just keep on calling out. So he's kind of poking fun at them. Well, you know that's probably got to get them a little upset. But they keep on, oh, Baal, we praise you. Come on, hear our calls. Oh, and he don't listen. And so they start dancing around. They dancing around. They shaking their hands. They getting their knives and their spears. And they start cutting themselves. Oh, Baal, listen to us. And blood's running down from them. And for hours and hours and hours, they jump around and they scream like a bunch of fools. And nothing happens. Because there ain't no God that they're praying to. They praying to nothing. Because there ain't no other God. There's one God. Well, evening comes and ain't nothing happened. So Elijah says, it's my turn now. So Elijah, he dug him a little trench around where he had his animal there, and he had his wood. Everything was chopped up and poured about, Scripture says, approximately 4 gallons of water all over the top of it. It was soaking wet, and the water run down and filled the little trench around it. And Elijah says, y'all watch this. And he calls to Yahweh. He calls to God. And as soon as he does, guess what happens? Boom! This fire comes down and consumes everything. The animal, the water, the wood, the rocks, everything there, it says, was consumed in an instant. Now all the people saw that. And then Elijah said, all these false prophets need to be killed. What a powerful story. What a wonderful story. It's one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture. And then you flip the page. Now, Elijah has just experienced the power of God. Could you imagine today, that if you said, God, would you rain fire from heaven to show me your power so that everyone can see that you are real and you exist, and God does that in an instant? Could you imagine what that feeling must feel like? Holy smokes. Even if you trust God and know God could do it and believe God could do it, that would probably be so. I'd be left standing still like, oh, wow. God has just shown up in a powerful way because I called on Him. God called me to serve. I was obedient to Him, and I called out to God, and God responded to me. Now, this would have been, I would assume, a powerful moment in the life of Elijah. And you turn the page, and, well, King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, is not really happy with this. Not happy that these prophets of Baal had been killed. Not happy with what Elijah had done. And so she sends word, I want Elijah dead. I want him dead. Now, Elijah becomes afraid, which is pretty normal, I guess, when somebody's trying to kill you. And after all that God has done, after he's seen the power of God, he goes and he wants to give up. He goes and he's ready to give up, and he lays down under a tree and says, God, I just want to die. I just want to give up, God. Well, God doesn't let him give up. God sends an angel and gives him some bread, gives him some water, lets him rest up, ministers to him, and begins to speak to him, and he speaks to him in a still, small voice. And Elijah says to him, and that's what we just saw in Romans chapter 11, and we see it also in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah says to him, he says, God, I've done everything you have asked, but I alone am left. I'm the only one. God, I am alone and I am afraid. I am by myself. And God responds, and we see God's response in Romans chapter 11. He says, not so, Elijah. There's a remnant. There are 7,000 more. You're not alone. There are other people other than you who want to stand up for me and who are willing to stand beside me. Now here's where we're going to get a little out of the context of what the passage says. Now I told you the story. We kind of understand what the story says. But there was one part of that when I was reading through Romans this week. There was one part of that when I read that verse that made me think, do we ever feel like Elijah? Do we ever feel like we are alone? There are days in our life that we feel that we are alone. And maybe we have experienced the power of God in a mighty way like Elijah did. But there are things in our life, there are days in our life that it is hard and that we feel like we are alone and that nobody understands what we are going through and nobody can relate to us and nobody can help us and we are ready to give up. Sometimes even when we sit in a room like this full of people, we still feel alone, surrounded by people. There are days in our life that we are not so unlike Elijah, that we feel alone. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe there are some in here today and you feel that way. Maybe there's a couple. Maybe there's 10 of us. Maybe there's half of us that came in here today and there's something you're going through in your life. And for whatever reason, you believe God, you trust in God, you know that there are people here that love you, but there are days that we just feel that we are alone. Well, I want to tell you today that you are not alone. That God told his people as he was getting ready to lead them into the promised land, he told them, I will never leave you or forsake you. God cares about you today. He cares about you. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Sometimes it's hard for us to see God. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with the things that are going on around us. In the same way that Elijah was, his life was in jeopardy. He was overwhelmed by the threat. Whatever it may be, there are things in our life that sometimes are so overwhelming to us that even if we have just experienced the power of God and know the power of God, that in our feeling of being alone, that kind of depresses us and draws us into ourselves and away from the power of God and away from the people of God who love us. And I think that is a great tactic of the enemy, that he tries to make us feel alone, that he tries to make us afraid, that he tries to make us believe that nobody else understands, that nobody else will understand, that nobody else cares, that God himself doesn't care. And I'll tell you today that is a lie from the devil. He is a liar and he desires to steal your joy and to steal your hope. And so if you come into this building today and you feel alone, I want to tell you today that you are not alone, that God has not left you. Oftentimes when we feel alone, we probably really don't feel like seeking out to God. It's kind of weird. at least in my life, maybe in yours too, I don't know, but sometimes it seems as though the times that I need to call out to the Lord the most, it's like there's something there. It's like that's what I should be doing, but I'm so kind of caught up in myself, and I'm just feel so alone, and I feel so depressed, and I feel like God doesn't care and nobody else cares. And it seems like in those times it might be harder to pray to God. But what I find, and maybe what you'll find too, is that the times that we are most alone are the times that we need to seek God the most. That we need to seek brothers and sisters in Christ. One of the best things we can do is read God's Word when we feel alone or when we feel afraid. There's a good passage in Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 16 and 17 says this. It's a good prayer. Maybe you say, I don't know what to pray. Well, these words might sound pretty good to you. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am alone and afflicted. Anybody ever felt like that before? Have you ever felt alone and afflicted? Have you ever wanted the grace of God to be showered upon you? Then that's our prayer. God, be gracious to me, because God, I am in a mess. I feel alone. I am afflicted, God, and I need your help. And it goes on to say, the distresses of my heart increase, bring me out of my sufferings. What a powerful, simple couple of sentences that is. Maybe we need to make a mark of that verse. Maybe we say, I don't know the words to pray. Maybe we can say the same words that David said. God, be gracious to me, for I'm alone and afflicted. God, in my distress, I need you to deliver me. Don't let the devil get the best of you. Don't let the devil convince you to fight your battles alone. First and foremost, seek the Lord. Secondly, seek other people. That's sometimes hard for us to do. It's hard for us to do because maybe we say, I don't want to tell anybody what I'm going through. They're probably not going to have anything good to tell me. I don't want to be a burden. Because here's the thing, is a lot of times is when these things hit us the most. It's at night, right? It gets dark. There ain't nobody else around. The TV's off. It gets quiet. And then our brains begin to work. And then the stresses of our life begin to kind of play into our head. And we begin to play out the situation. And it always ends the worst it possibly could. Very seldom do we lay there and say, everything is great. Tomorrow's going to be a good day. We lay there and we say, man, I'm alone and I'm hopeless and I'm afraid. And this is never going to get any better. And we feel like Elijah. And we say, I'm just ready to give up. But sometimes we just need to pick up the phone. And we need to call a brother or sister and say, look, I'm having a tough night. Could we talk for a second? Would you pray for me? It's a bad feeling when you feel alone. Some of you may have felt it. I would venture to say maybe that everybody has felt that. You feel alone. That's a bad feeling. But the cure oftentimes for feeling alone is feeling the presence of a friend. It's feeling the presence of the Lord. It's seeking the Word of the Lord and letting God speak to you through His Word. There's no shame in calling up a friend and saying, look, I'm having a bad day. I'm having a bad night. I need a little help. Praise the Lord that God gives us community. That's one of the greatest blessings that I think God gives us is He gives us one another. Yeah, we go straight to God. Praise the Lord. We seek God. We know He's in control. But He gives us one another, I believe, as a community of brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can be there for one another. Amen. And we need to make sure that we do that. There are a lot of people in this world that feel alone. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're doing pretty good. Praise the Lord. That's good. Maybe you will one day. Maybe you won't. But I go see a lot of people. And it happens a lot of times that when I go see older people, the story is the same. Usually they're shut up in a room or in their home. And they get very little company. And oftentimes they feel alone. Because the world has passed them by. They used to live a life like you do. They used to get up and go to work. They used to go on vacations. They used to get in the car and go wherever they wanted to go and do whatever they wanted to do. And there comes a point in your life, and you will get there should you live long enough, that life is going to get hard. And one day you're going to be in a room by yourself looking at four walls. And is anybody going to come see you? Is anybody going to care about you? Are you going to spend your years feeling alone and forgotten and afraid and depressed? Is anybody going to come see you? Well, let me ask you this question. Do you go see anybody? There's a lot of people out there that are alone. Do you go see anybody? I challenge you, church, this year, I challenge you to go see some folks. Because a lot of us probably are at a point where we don't really know what it's like to be alone in that way. Because we all come here today, got in our car, and we drove today. But there's a lot of people in this world that may go days at a time, weeks at a time, months at a time, and do not see a soul. And they are alone and afraid at the end of their life. And we need to go see those people. And we can come up with a lot of excuses why we don't want to. I don't want to hear your excuses. They're not good enough. You say, well, you don't even know what they are. No, I don't. But they're not good enough. I don't have time. Wrong. That's a lie. You make time for whatever you want to do. Every one of us do. Every one of us make time to do whatever we want to do. So don't tell me you don't have time. Don't say, well, they wouldn't come see me, or they never come see me. I ain't going to see them. Well, who cares? Maybe they didn't come see you. Maybe they're an old curmudgeon, and they ain't worthy of a visit. But you know what? I've seen it. Old curmudgeons get lonely. They feel alone. They feel afraid when life is drawing to a close. Go see them anyway. Because maybe one day you're going to be an old curmudgeon. And people ain't going to want to come see you. But maybe they will. Don't say, I can't go see them because they're not in good shape. I just can't stand to see them like that. No, you got to be tougher than that. You got to be tougher than that. We can't say of our loved ones that are in their worst shape, that are alone and afraid and feel abandoned, we can't say, oh, I just can't bear to see them. It hurts me too much. Well, you don't think that it hurts them to lay there day after day and week after week and no one pay them attention? You don't think that they're hurting? You don't think that they're lonely? You say, well, their mind's gone. They're not even going to remember me. I don't even need to go see them. Wrong. Yeah, people's minds, they decline, they deteriorate. You might have the same conversation with some people 1,000 times in the visits you go see them. But you know what I believe? I ain't a doctor. I'm just some country preacher. But here's what I think. I think that somewhere in there, there's probably a part of them that knows what's going on. And they may not be able to tell you and show you that they remember that you came 5 minutes before, but I think that there's a part of them that in that moment that knows that you love them, that knows that you came to see them, that they know that they are not alone. And so there are days in our life that we feel alone, that we need to call on the Lord, that we need to call on a friend. And praise God if we do that. Praise God and consider it a blessing if somebody in this church calls you at 2 o'clock in the morning and says, brother, sister, I'm having a bad night. Could you just talk to me for a moment? Could you just pray for me? I feel alone and afraid. We should praise God if somebody would call us and need us in a time of feeling alone. And we should not be too proud to allow the devil to attack us night after night in the darkness and in the quiet when we feel alone. Because oftentimes, just hearing the voice of a friend is enough to restore our souls. So there are days that we are those who are alone, and there are days that we feel like Elijah, and we may say, God, I alone am left. And maybe in this story and in these passages we looked at today, God can remind us, you are not alone. There are thousands of other brothers and sisters in Christ that love me and that love you. You are not alone in your struggles. You are not alone in your pain. You are not alone in your suffering, because I, the Lord your God, will never leave you or forsake you. And may it be said of us, as children of God, that we would not leave and forsake those whom we love, that we would not leave them alone and afraid, that we would reach out to those who are lonely, that we would reach out when we need help, and that we would reach out to help others in their loneliness. You can throw your excuses out the window today. They are not sufficient. There is a community of people who need you. If you do not go visit people who aren't able to get out, then you need to start going to visit people. You can pick one person a month. Start out simple. Pick one person that is shut up, that's not able to get out. It's probably somebody already come to your mind that you hadn't seen in 6 months and in 2 years, and you ask me, how's so-and-so doing? Well, here's what I tell you. Next time you want to ask me how's so-and-so doing, because I hadn't seen him in a while, go see him. Get in the car and go see him. And I guarantee you, they will be glad to see you. You know why? Because nobody goes to see them. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I go see them and they say, nobody comes to see me. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing that there are family members and that there are church members that some of you have not seen in years. And all they see are four walls. And very seldom get a call, and very seldom get a visit, and they feel alone and afraid, and many of them are at the end of their life, and they need the love of a friend. So pick somebody. Pray about it. Say, God, put somebody in my path. Maybe somebody we've forgotten about. Even those old cranky curmudgeons that ain't done you right. They're alone and afraid too. And ask God to give you the courage to go and to visit with him. You say, I don't know what to say. You don't got to say nothing. You say, well, that'll be awkward. Well, maybe it will be awkward, but I guarantee you this, they won't care. It ain't about what you say. It is not about what you say. It's about that you take the time and the effort to go. Don't just do it once. You go see them, you check on them, you tell them you love them. Ask them if you can do anything for them. You know, it's something we take for granted. We can do stuff for ourselves. Most of us in here can do everything we want to do, anything we want to do. Yeah, we get a little older. We kind of slow down. But for the most part, we can do what we want to do. Some people can't. Ask people how you can help them. Pray for them. Now, I know I'm a long way. I'd probably get a failing grade for this sermon in seminary because I'm a long way from the context of what these passages are talking about. But maybe not. The point is this, or at least this is what the Lord spoke to me. And that is, there are days that we feel alone like Elijah. And God reminds Elijah in this passage, you are not alone. If we take nothing else from this today, let us remember that. You are not alone today. And maybe, just maybe, God can use you to encourage somebody else with that same message. There are plenty of people around here that feel alone. You say, I don't know who they are. Well, come ask me. I can tell you some people. I can tell you somebody to go visit. But you don't need me to. You know people. You already know people. So we got to do a better job. If we don't go check on those who are alone, we got to do a better job. We've got to take the encouragement we get from God's word in our life and take that encouragement to others. Let's pray. God, we come to you. We thank you for your good word. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help anyone in this place today that is coming here and they feel alone, dear Lord. There may be some sitting on the pews this morning that feel that way. Even right now, as I pray. God, even right now, surrounded by these brothers and sisters in Christ, they just have a loneliness that they feel. And God, I pray, I don't have any magic words to tell them. I can only tell them, God, that you have not forgotten them. And I pray that they would find hope in that today. That you have not abandoned them in their time of distress. That you have not abandoned them in their pain and in their struggles. I pray, God, that they would know that you are with them, to walk with them every step of the way. And they may not always feel it. They may not feel it today, God, but you are there. God, I pray that you would meet us in our loneliness. God, sometimes those attacks are serious. Sometimes they're serious, God, and they hit us at the worst times. And God, it's tough when we go through those feelings of being alone. But I pray that we find comfort in you. And I pray that we find comfort in one another, dear Lord. I pray that as a church family, we would go stronger and sharing in our sufferings, dear Lord. That we'd call out to our brothers and sisters in Christ to help us on the days that we feel alone. God, I pray that you would help us to be able to help others. Dear Lord, there are a lot of people in this world that feel alone. Many of which are stuck in a room somewhere in a nursing home or confined to their home, dear Lord, with very little attention given to them and in a world that they believe has forgotten them. And maybe, God, if we're honest, a lot of times that's the case, dear Lord. But God, let us be those that change that. That we can go to those, dear Lord, who feel alone and let them know that they are not forgotten. That you are with them and that there are people in this world that care about them. That just in the few moments we can sit down and just talk with them and visit with them, dear Lord, that they would experience your love and your joy. That would give them that little bit of glimmer of hope, dear Lord. That little extra boost. So God, I pray for those that feel alone today, those that are not here, those that are struggling. I pray, God, that we would be a light to this world. Dear Lord, I thank you for these words. I thank you for the story of Elijah. Dear Lord, maybe some days come in our life that we feel kind of like him. We know you and we've seen your power and we've experienced it. And maybe there's some in here today and they came in here kind of with the same attitude of Elijah and just ready to give up, dear Lord. They're just tired. And they're ready to give up and they just feel alone. But I pray, God, that just as you met the needs of Elijah, you restored him and you encouraged him to let him know that he wasn't alone. God, I pray that those who might have come into this place today with that feeling would have that same experience. That you'd restore them, that you meet them where they are, that you give them some encouragement today, and that you remind them, God, that you are with them. And that they are not alone, that there are brothers and sisters in Christ in this room that care for them. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.